fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
Welcome to Common Sense Radio. That's right, it's Thursday night, it's 8 p.m. And if you're hearing my voice, you've done what you should do. And that is to be in front of your radio every Thursday at 8 p.m. to hear Common Sense Radio, to hear the backstory, the side story, what's really going on out there with all of this nonsense you hear in the news and plenty of fake news to go around. But you can cut through all that right here at Common Sense Radio. And how is it that we are here every week with incredible clarity and incredible strength, a force that's it's like surrounds you. It's like everywhere you go. It's like being in the ocean, the waters all around you. It's wherever you are. The electrons find you in your truck. They find you streaming at FMTalk1065.com, or they get them on TuneIn Radio. And that is because we have a true force of nature, the award-winning engineer who can get electrons to anybody, anywhere, anytime. And that is our award-winning engineer, co-host, all-around nice guy, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate those kind, kind words.
Yes, a force of nature.
Yes.
A force of nature.
Make the electrons dance for you.
That's
tonight.
Right. You can make them dance. I love to watch it. I love to watch it. And you might notice that it appears or sounds like the boys are unsupervised. And yes, the boys are unsupervised tonight because our illustrious director of quality assurance, executive producer, co-host, Gold Star wife, United States Coast Guard, Teresa Taylor, is out on assignment. I hope to have her back next week. But so.
Yes.
There will be no adult supervision for the next hour.
Uh-oh.
So buckle up, folks. We'll see where this all takes us.
Batten down the hatches.
That's right. Bat down the hatches. All right. Lot of different things. I wanted to get one thing out. I'll mention it probably again later, but just so everybody knows, today is the National Day of Prayer.
Yes. Yes,
it is the National Day of Prayer. And that's one of the things I hope everybody took time to pray for this country, pray for our leaders, pray for our communities, pray for each other, because the theme of this year's National Day of Prayer is love one another.
Mm.
And I hope you had a chance to do that. Many of you may not have known that. But if you are a member of the Southwest Mobile County Chamber of Commerce, you would have known, and you would have been among the very many people that showed up at the Tillman's Corner Community Center at 7 a.m. this morning for a prayer breakfast.
Okay.
For about 40 minutes, and they very devoutly prayed for the community and the first responders and the students and the teachers and everybody else. And it was a great event, and I hope you did that. And people go, oh, well, National Day of Prayer. I think some people think, oh, well, that's interesting. That's curious. That may be odd. But we have a long tradition of that. I don't know if people realize, but the National Day of Prayer has actually been official since 1952.
Wow.
And when the Congress passed a bill saying we should have a National Day of Prayer on the first Thursday of May, and they asked the president always make a proclamation, which President Trump did, but it started in 1952. But, National Day of Prayer, actually, we have a long history. It goes all the way back. The Continental Congress had regular national days of prayer start as early as 1768.
Yeah.
And we had several of them during the Revolutionary War. George Washington called for several of them as president. And when they would have these, like when they were, before they signed the Declaration of Independence, they had a National Day of Prayer.
Right.
Before they signed the Declaration of Independence. And think about this. On that National Day of Prayer, the Congress convened in the morning and went to church to pray in the morning. They went to have lunch, and they reconvened at another church to pray some more.
Wow.
They prayed for hours. Prayer works. Prayer is what has blessed this country, and we should not forget it. And it is a foundation of this country, and it's part of our culture. It's part of our heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, trust me, they're all over the place trying to make it go away, make you forget, make you not realize. But it's there. And thankfully, I am proud that we live in South Alabama where we can pray. where you go to restaurants and you see families bow their heads to pray for their meals before they eat. You see people, any public function, people pray in South Alabama.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how appreciative I am that we're in a place where we do that, and we do that unashamedly, proudly, and I hope that we will always do that. And I think we're reaping the benefits of it. We live in a blessed part of the country.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. So that was my. I want to get that out. We may mention some more about that with the Reagan quote. Also, you know, we always at the top of the program before we get into all the other politics, which you know we wade off into stuff. There was another terror attack on a synagogue last week. Awful. Some 19-year-old nut goes into a synagogue. And starts shooting up the place, kills a 60-year-old woman in the entranceway as he came in, shot the rabbi, but only wounded him, fortunately, but wounded a few other people. But mercifully and thankfully, the guy's gun jammed, and they were able to subdue the guy. And, and well, they didn't subdue him. They charged him, and he ran off. And then they caught him right after that. But it could have been a lot worse. So pray for the people in the synagogue. I think it's Powhatan. What's the name of that town? It's in California. Pray for the synagogue in California. I can't say the name of the town, wherever it's at. But and, of course, everyone wants to politicize it and say, oh, it's just more hate. But the part they don't tell you is that the guy that did it, just like the guy that did the shot up the synagogue in Pennsylvania about a year ago in Pittsburgh, was a Trump hater. He wasn't doing Trump's bidding. He wasn't following, you know, little indications or innuendo from the president to spread hate. He hated Trump. Yeah. He hates conservatives. So, folks, remember where the hate comes from. Remember where the violence comes from. It comes all over. I mean, there's a lot of, right now, they're arresting people. Ben Shapiro, they arrested a guy for death threats. They were so serious. And Ben Shapiro is a commentator, a young guy. I forget what. He's with some not a network, but some website. I forget which one. But anyway, but those things are real.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're out there. They're real. Okay, so why don't I get that? All right, let's go to the big story, which is the Attorney General.
Oh, okay.
Going before the Congress. And, folks, you got to understand what's going on here. The lie did not work. It's been exposed. The Mueller report came out, and you got to think about this. They put, a couple of dozen rabid Trump-hating Democrat attorneys on this special counsel.
Right.
And after 2 years, they could not find evidence of collusion with the Russians.
Right.
They could not find it. Does anybody out there think that if they had any scintilla that they could have hung their hat on, that they would have done it?
Yeah.
So
about the best they could come up with were procedural crimes or crimes
of
close associates prior to
all this.
To
yes,
Trump's
they did some
campaign.
Entrapment. They did some perjury traps.
Yep.
That's how they got General Flynn and Papadopoulos. And then they went and got, you know, went back 10 years to dig something up on Manafort and maybe Roger Stone. Who knows? That one's still out there.
Right.
But nothing. They could not find anything. Well, this is how corrupt and how sneaky it is. So the Mueller report comes out and says, we can't find any evidence, but we make no decision on obstruction of justice. Okay, folks, so think about that. We couldn't find a collusion crime, but we can't decide on obstruction of justice. Well, if there was no crime, how can you obstruct justice for a crime that didn't happen?
Exactly. Here's the thing. You know, special counsels are supposed to have a crime before they can investigate.
Right. They're not supposed to go look for the crime.
This particular case was completely upside down.
No, they said find a crime.
They were fishing for a crime, which most judges, you know, will throw out.
No.
You know, when they are requested to get a warrant or a wiretap.
You got
to
say, what is the suspicion?
And you know, it's a, well, that's just a fishing
We don't like
expedition.
That guy.
Yeah.
He's a sneaky guy. We think he's a bad guy. Well, that's not good enough.
That's not good enough.
What did he do? We don't know, but we know he's a bad guy. And if you let us search, we'll find
We'll find something. And see, here's the thing.
That's what, you know, I think, was it the Fourth Amendment protects you from that.
Exactly. It's all often been said that, you know, they can indict a ham sandwich, you know. If you've lived any kind of a life, at some point you have crossed over a line
somewhere
that the legal system could prosecute if they wanted to.
Right. No, that is absolutely the case.
In most cases it's so minor or you know, of no importance that
but
nobody
if they
want to
drive it home, they can.
They
and
can
put pressure
yeah.
on you, kill it like they did with Flynn, overwhelm you and kill you with legal fees.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there was a very sneaky gift in the Mueller report.
And
when we come back, you've got to stay with us. You think, they didn't find the evidence and there was no decision on obstruction. But that was a sneak attack, a play, a tactic, a gift handed to the Democrats. Be right back and we will tell you what that is. Give us a call or text at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And look, if you need car repair, car maintenance, or a new car, you need to go to King's Automotive at 5450 Willis Road down in Tillman's Corner, right there in Theodore. It's right at the I-10 Highway 90 interchange, right there. Get on 90 heading south, go underneath the I-10 interstate. Look to the right. It's right there. There's a little switchback by the Shell station at New Horizons Credit Union. And right there is King's Automotive. That is the most reliable place that you can get your car repaired. You can get it maintenance, serviced. They do it all. It's a full service place. If you have a wreck, they can help you with that. They can do anything that you need. And you can be rest assured that you're getting fair treatment, that you're getting the right answers, and they're not going to overcharge you. They're going to find ways to save you money. They're not going to just go get the most expensive parts, throw them in there. They're going to figure out what's wrong with your car and get it fixed for you. It is the place to go. And look, and if you get to a point where you need another car, they specialize in budget-friendly cars. They've got used cars there. So you got a high school kid, a college kid, whatever, or maybe your dad needs a new car, and my kids would never buy me a car. Why am I saying that? But you know, somebody needs a budget-friendly car.
Is that a hint?
No, I don't want to buy it because I don't want to see what they'd buy. But if you need a budget-friendly car, King's Automotive, they can do it. They've got it. You need to go there. You will get the royal treatment if you tell them you heard it on Common Sense Radio. King's Automotive down in Tillman's Corner at 5450 Willis Road. Okay, back to the Attorney General. Let's go back to the gift that Mueller gave. Mueller refused in the report to make a decision on obstruction. Now, what's interesting about that is when you do an investigation mm-hmm. for prosecution, mm-hmm. you're supposed to go gather evidence and then make recommendations.
Right.
They don't just go, oh, we found all this. What do you think? No, they come back. We found all this, and we think these are the charges. We want to bring these charges. Right. This is the crime that we found.
Right.
These are the crimes. These are the charges. They refused to make that decision because they knew they didn't have enough to do it. But by refusing, what they knew would happen is the Attorney General would have to make the decision.
Right.
And he and a former or attorney general's about deputy Rod Rosenstein, who is a curious and suspicious character in all this, with Attorney General Barr.
Very kind of you.
Reviewed the Mueller report and said, we don't see enough evidence to say there's any sort of obstruction crime. They said, we reviewed all of it and we don't see anywhere that it meets any threshold that there is a crime. Mm-hmm. So the Attorney General made the decision that Mueller refused to make, failed to make. Why is that a gift? Because that's what the Democrats are going to ride on. Mm-hmm. They just needed a little wiggle room. They just needed a little bit of daylight right there to say, oh, so there's a question. You, and that's why they're attacking Barr, folks. That's because they're going, oh, Barr, you can't be Trump's attorney and attorney general. Oh, you lied. Oh, you have no integrity. You're covering up for the president. We know there's more there, and you've spun it. And that's, and they're hoping that most of the people will go, oh, yeah, well, I guess there must be something there they're covering up. How much? The Mueller report is now out. Any idea how much is redacted?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it, to be honest.
Well, I haven't looked at the whole thing. But you know how much is redacted out of the Mueller report, 400 pages or whatever? 2%.
That's
2% is redacted for national security purposes and grand jury information, which is by law you can't release.
Right. Right.
Think about that. 2%.
That's amazing.
They have the whole report. And apparently, and the 2% is made available to the Congress if they want to go to a secure place and read it. And only two Democrats have gone to read it. They got it all in there. They know they have nothing in there except what this whole thing was, which is nothing but a hollow allegation. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're doing. They're going, we got nothing. We can't beat Trump. I mean, and that's this week's column. We'll get into that. When you look at their cast of clowns that are trying to run for office, you're like, who? They don't have anybody that can even come close to Trump. So they know the only thing they got is still what they've been playing since 2016 is to destroy Trump, right, drive his numbers down, and hope they can paint him as a criminal, a buffoon, some sort of monster, a tyrant, with no, and all it is hollow allegation. They just keep repeating, oh, he did it. He did this. He lied. He did this. There's collusion. We got to get in. You have the report. You have the whole report.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Adam Schiff says, oh, I have evidence. Adam Schiff, where's your evidence?
The evidence? Yeah.
You've never shown the evidence. And that is the smarmy, scheming, sneaky thing that Mueller did. He left it an open question because he knew if he decided, it'd be really hard for the Democrats to go against because Mueller said no.
Yeah, yeah.
But if Barr decided, they could go, oh, you're just a henchman. You're just a spokesman for Trump. You're just a sycophant just covering for the president.
Right.
And if you've watched any of the testimony or heard the clips, Barr is a very cool cucumber. And actually, if you ever have time to listen to some of the clips and watch the whole segments, the Democrats sound like morons,
mm-hmm,
which is not new. But but they do. They sound like total. They're up there saying, literally like the one Hirano from Hawaii, that you come in here to lie to us and all that. Just smearing the guy, coming in here and being dishonest and all that. And Pelosi said that he should resign for he lied to Congress. That's a crime. He should resign. Oh, we should pursue that. What was the lie? Well, they have not said what the lie is, but there's been specific speculation in some of the newspapers. They believe it was when Representative Charlie Crist from Florida in a House hearing a few weeks ago asked Barr, do you have any knowledge of any concerns by the special counsel about your 4-page summary? Do you have any knowledge of that? And Barr said, no, I'm unaware that he has any concerns about what we've done. And then the letter came out, right? This past week that Mueller wrote a letter about his concerns about the summary, but it wasn't about the summary. It was about the way the summary was being reported. If you read Mueller's letter, he doesn't say that the summary was inaccurate. He doesn't say that it was misleading. He is worried about the reporting on it.
Right.
That it undermines what his intent was. Now, you all got to remember that Barr offered him to review that letter before he did. He declined. The letter came out, and his letter then was because the press didn't take it the way he wanted it. I don't know what he was worried about. Basically, I was running around going, hey, president's exonerated. Nothing happened. And Mueller is trying to help the Democrats keep this alive. And that it's a loophole. And here, I think they can't make it. Because what they're trying to do, do you really think they can ride this hobby horse for two more years?
I have no doubt that they would try.
But I don't think the American people are going to.
Unless they can find another one.
But I don't think the American people will tolerate it.
No.
I think they're fed up with
it. I think it's a losing situation for them.
It is. It's a loser.
It has been for many, many months, if not year.
Right. That's what they're going to try to do. And here's the other part, the really, really critical part, why they're absolutely panicking. Because Barr is an honest man and is going to investigate. How did this start?
Mm-hmm.
When did the FBI decide to investigate? Who else? What other intelligence agencies were involved? And that's where the spying, which was announced by the New York Times, that they were spying on the Trump campaign.
Right.
Folks, that's why they're panicking, and they have to destroy Barr, because if he uncovers the dirty dossier, because one of the guys asked him, when did the FBI determine that that dossier was fake and paid for by the Democrats? And Barr said, I don't know, but I'm going to find out. That's what's got them scared to death.
From the very beginning.
From the
very beginning.
And you know why that scares them to death? Because really, all roads lead to Barack Hussein Obama.
Yep.
That's where all this is going to lead. And they got to protect him. They got to protect all of the deep state and the FBI and the DOJ.
And Hillary
Clinton.
All of them.
They are in jeopardy if he goes and exposes how. And we know a lot of it. It's just we need all the proof.
Mm-hmm.
So, folks, that's where it's going. All right. Give us your calls or text at 251-343-0106. Tax man had texted in that FBI spied on Trump.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
One of those honorable guys.
Yep.
One of those honorable guys.
That is an honorable guy. Anyway, hey, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Bottom of the hour, bring aboard a great sponsor, ABC Signs and ABC Shirts. That is your headquarters for anything custom made in promotional materials, dry fit shirts, custom made signs, promotional materials, your little license plate holders that say something nifty on there like Roll Tide or I Love Mark Holliday or whatever it is. You put it on there, and they have a Trump store down there at their store on LaRue Steiner Road down there in Tillman's Corner. ABC Signs and Shirts, that is the place to go. Go to abcshirts.biz or abcsigns.biz, or give Greg Callahan a call down there at 877-744-6750. Shirts, signs, you running for political office, whatever you need, whatever you want to do, having a garage sale, you need to talk to Greg Callahan. He's your man at ABC Signs and Shirts, and they bring you wit and wisdom from Ronald Wilson Reagan.
Prayer has sustained our people in crisis, strengthened us in times of challenge, and guided us through our daily lives since the first settlers came to this continent. Our forebears came not for gold, but mainly in search of God and the freedom to worship in their own way. We've been a free people living under the law with faith in our Maker and in our future. I've said before that the most sublime picture in American history is of George Washington on his knees in the snow at Valley Forge. That image personifies a people who know that it's not enough to depend on our own courage and goodness. We must also seek help from God, our Father and Preserver. Thomas Jefferson once said, Almighty God created the mind free. Abraham Lincoln said once that he would be the most foolish man on this footstool we call Earth if he thought for 1 minute he could fulfill the duties that faced him if he did not have the help of one who was wiser than all others. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is the promise God gives us in 2 Chronicles. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That promise is the hope of America and of all our people. Together, let us take up the challenge to reawaken America's religious and moral heart, recognizing that a deep and abiding faith in God is the rock upon which this great nation was founded.
That was President Reagan on the 6th of May, 1982, about 37 years ago. It was about the National Day of Prayer, but it was also, these remarks were in support of a constitutional amendment that would permit voluntary prayer in public schools. But this was with his prayer. It was also tied in with the National Day of Prayer. And since today is a National Day of Prayer, I thought it appropriate.
Very apropos.
That's right. We should hear from the great communicator on all that. And now it's funny that he mentions like George Washington. And folks, we got to remember our foundation of our country is in prayer, and it's in Judeo-Christian values, and it is what he said, people coming here to seek freedom of worship, mm-hmm. not just freedom of work, freedom of worship. That was really the driving factor. People are willing to die for freedom of worship.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to die for freedom of work, but they will die for freedom of worship.
Yeah.
And they will brave the ocean, they'll brave the frontier, a wilderness continent, they'll do all that. And it's really important to remember that, and it's interesting because right now, there's a California high school in Northern California that has 13 murals of George Washington's life painted in this high school in the 1930s.
Wow.
But they are now, their school district has voted, and it's not a final decision. They want to take them down because they believe the murals don't depict their current values, and they traumatize the students. Now think about that.
Oh, man.
The murals of George Washington's life traumatizes our students, so we should take them down. Do not think that the leftists are out there trying to erase our history.
Absolutely.
That's what totalitarians do. They erase your history. Good, bad, or indifferent, they erase it. So you don't remember where you came from. You don't remember if you've done this before. You don't remember how we got here, why we fought the fights we fought. They're doing it. And there's another one, the same thing this last week at Hofstra University. There's a group of students demanding a statue of Thomas Jefferson be removed.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
One of the great minds of our Constitution and our founding.
You know, on a side note, I was listening to Dalton and Sean one morning this week. They were talking about cursive writing.
Right.
And Dalton apparently is the king of cursive writing. He learned it twice apparently, and so he's really good at it. But what a lot of people don't realize, I mean, we've got the tablets and the smartphones and, you know, the keyboards and all of that stuff, and you know, it types it out in block letters.
Yeah.
But if you don't learn, if you don't know cursive writing, there's no way that you can read our founding documents.
Right.
They're all in cursive. So that's another thing that you don't think about, and it's pushed off to the side. But if you don't teach our children cursive writing, there's no way you can tell them anything, and they won't be able to go back
and read it
and look
what
at the original document and find out for themselves.
Right, they can't do it. And there's also been studies that says that cursive writing actually assists in certain brain development.
It does, absolutely.
In brain development. So, you know, leaving that out and just punching on a keyboard, you're missing out on that. So that was the Reagan quote in honor of the National Day of Prayer. And this week's column was not really tied to any of that. It was Democrats race to the bottom. And you can find it in the Call News, the Tri-City Ledger, the Washington County News, the Post up in Cherokee County, mm-hmm. and a few other places every now and then. But the race to the bottom is because they have nothing but they have nothing. The only message, and this ties in with what's going on with Attorney General Barr, mm-hmm. they have nothing but hatred for Trump. Their only strategy for 2020 is to destroy Trump so that anybody could win because Trump is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're panicking because they can't find anybody acceptable. And that's what the column talks about. They're trying gimmick candidates, right?
Right.
We're going to try Spartacus, Senator Cory Booker, because he's going to be just like Obama.
Right.
And he starts talking, he's not like Obama. We got to have somebody else. Ooh, a woman, a Native American woman.
Yeah.
Those high cheekbones only register to 1,024th Native American. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, Kamala Harris can't gain traction. There's a bunch of other idiots out there. So who can we get? You know, and it's so, and I actually find it comical. They're so immersed in, admired in identity politics. I forgot. And the gay mayor. Oh, we got to have the gay mayor. That's the one.
Buttigieg,
whatever he is.
Mayor
Pete from South Bend, the gay guy. And they're all a buzz about, Hollywood's aflame. Oh, it'd be so wonderful to have a gay president. We can do that. That would be cool. People would love that. It'd be novel. It'd be like the first black president. Well, the first gay president.
Or how about the Hispanic, not Hispanic, Beto?
That's right. That was the other one.
Non-Hispanic.
The fake Hispanic, whatever he is. He looks like Kennedy.
Beto O'Rourke.
But he's an idiot.
Well, he is that.
He's an idiot. And they find out he's an empty suit. And so he was a flash in the pan. Now, the thing with Mayor Pete, I'm telling you, and I know I'll get the calls and the texts about homophobia, but I'm telling you, they were putting all over social media. It's on the cover of Time, him smooching on his husband. Now, we may have come to where we've allowed gay marriage and we're tolerant of homosexual lifestyles and all this stuff. But I'm telling you, most of the people in this country, when they look, they see these two guys in their little starch-pressed shirts and their little slacks, and they're standing there pressing up against each other and smooching on each other. That's an unsettling picture, okay? People just look at that and go, ew. Even if you are very tolerant of gay marriage, you look at that and go, ew, is that what we really – and he's not going – and he's an empty suit too.
Yeah.
He's an empty suit. He has no ideas. I mean, they're all gimmick candidates in our making. So who do we turn to? A really old white man.
Right.
After all these gimmick candidates, identity politics, we're going to get
the really old creepy white guy.
Creepy white man, the guy who will sniff your daughter's hair.
Right.
What? And I'm going to tell you, I don't think he's going to make it because they had a clip of one of his first rallies. He was slurring his speech. I mean, he's 76, be 77 this year.
Right.
I think he's too frail. He's not up to it. And I think the Democrat.
And he does. I mean, he really doesn't have the chops for
it. No, he doesn't.
Anymore. I mean, I don't know if he ever did. He's tried several times to run for president, several times.
In 87, 88, he had to drop out. Why? For plagiarism.
Plagiarism, right.
Right, they got him for plagiarism. I forgot when he tried it again. I guess, was it 08?
Maybe.
He was in early on the 08 and he dropped out. I'm going to tell you something. If Obama had not picked him for VP,
we wouldn't know who
Joe Biden is.
Right.
He has no history. No. And remember when he was Obama's VP, they hit him all the time because he was a gaffe machine.
Yeah.
They said, Joe, go to China. Joe, go to Australia. Joe, go to Mongolia. Joe.
Well, you know, that trip to China must have done something for him because now he says China, no competition to the U.S.
No competition. And oh, by the way, and that's the other thing with Biden, the corruption will come up. Oh, yeah, we went to China and I had some really good conversations and my son enjoyed it too because he got put on some board, a billion-dollar board or something. What? So and there's also corruption in Ukraine. That all come out. But at the end of the day, I don't think Biden makes it because the Democrat base has gone so left socialist that there's no way Biden can appease
the base.
He can't
keep his feet on both sides of the stream on this one. I mean, it always says, you know, and I may have made this comment last week where it seems like, you know, Republicans have to run to the right in the primary to get the nomination and then move back to the center to to win the general. Democrats have to move to the left to get the nomination and then move back to the center.
Right.
Well, the Democrats have moved so far to the left, I don't see any of them being able to come back to the center.
They can't even see the center anymore.
And Trump is the only candidate I can remember who hasn't changed. He didn't move to the right.
Or the left.
Or the left. He just said what he wanted to do.
And that's what he's doing.
And that's what he did.
That's
the way he ran on it in the primary, and that's what he ran on in the general.
And that's how all this ties together. The Democrats know they don't have a winning message or a winning candidate for 2020. They can't figure it out. Their only strategy is to continue what they've been doing for 2 years, and that is to try to destroy Trump. And there'll be more on that. Give us your calls and text at 251-343-0106. And tax man has texted in, no smooching. Men should not be smooching. Do not smooch each other. Don't do that.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And hey, if you are looking for a good Bible teaching, conservative, solid Bible teaching church, you need to go to Magnolia Springs Baptist Church at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. They're down there in Theodore, just south of I-10, north of Highway 90 at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. Hey, great community, loving people, very nice people, kind people, great preacher, conservative Bible teaching at Magnolia Springs Baptist Church. Go check them out this Sunday, 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. And you just heard that commercial. The Blue Star Salute is on Armed Forces Day, which is a couple weeks from now, on the 18th of May. And there'll be a Blue Star Salute, and there'll be the Silver Wings jump team will parachute in. You'll see a Black Hawk helicopter, Coast Guard flyover. There's a 5K run. Go check it out. It's all over the internet, Blue Star Salute. I think it's bluestarsalute.org. I'll be out there so you can come see a radio face. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then let me plug, we said, amidst all this, what you don't hear in all the news, it flashes by really quickly, 3.2% GDP growth,
right,
which flashed through the news, and over 200,000 private jobs, way over expectations.
Both numbers over expectations.
Right. While all this nonsense is going on, are you tired of winning? Trump is still making America great. And one other little thing I want to throw out that I missed, I forgot, and when we were talking about the bar, when he was talking about the obstruction of justice, they're saying, well, you're trying to cover up for that. Well, the one thing, and they're saying, well, it's a crime. It was obstruction. And Barr was like, well, what do you mean? Well, the president discussed firing Mueller. Yeah, but he didn't. He didn't. He discussed it, and that's his prerogative. He has that right, but he didn't do it. He let it play out. So that was a key point. I'm sorry.
Well, the truth be told, he had the right to fire him anyway.
But he did have the right to fire him.
His advisor said probably not a good idea.
No, not
Mr.
a good
President,
idea.
So.
Well, and he was looking. He said, this is a circus. I've been falsely accused. I have no thing. This is going on forever and ever. And they said, no, you need to let this play out. And he listened to his advisors.
Exactly.
Contrary to whatever he says, that he doesn't listen to his advice. He did that. So I didn't get it. Okay, but we got Kevin calling in from Mobile with a couple of local issues. What do you got for us, Kevin?
Yes, yes. Washington, D.C. South here in Mobile. You know, my topic's right here, fellas. I'm catching the end of the hour and stuff. But our mayor is trying to juggle so many things in the city. Something's going on there. They're trying to play the old P-shell game. You know, we're trying to move the Mobile Airport Authority from out in Mobile, where they have thousands of acres they've bought over the years to build the airport, possibly an international. Now, all of a sudden, Brookley Complex is back in the mix of everything, and we need to move everything into the middle of Mobile to try to redo our infrastructure here on the backbones of all the taxpayers of Mobile. Why, in the midst of that, we're going to try to tear down the Civic Center, which they have no clue of where they're going to move Mardi Gras, which not having the facts in front of me with the dollars and cents figures, but I would probably say about 18 to 20% of Mobile's per capita income comes off of Mardi Gras, and then we're going to chop down all the trees down off of Broad Street. So can y'all see this P-shell game coming? I'm just want to get y'all's input on where do you think the mayor is trying to go with this?
Well, I honestly, I think the mayor is trying to improve this city and fix some longstanding problems. One of them, let's take the airport real quick. The airport was put in the wrong place. They put it out there, I don't know how many years ago, because of who owned the property and who got paid off. It was typical Mobile. Hey, instead of putting an airport where it makes sense, near an interstate, we're going to put it out here because of who owns the property and who gets paid off. Now, it is a big conundrum because millions of dollars have been invested to build that airport. It's been out there for a long time. And like you're right, there's this huge investment that has to flip it there. But a perennial complaint for Mobile for decades now, Mobile's too expensive to fly in and out of. Most, except for business travelers, your average folks are going to Pensacola, Gulfport, New Orleans because it's too expensive. And the reason is, at the airport, there's no competition. You got Delta and American and hardly anybody else. All the other carriers refuse to go out there because it's not at an interstate. They got Frontier and VIA. And it has moved. I don't know if you know, but the airport at Brooklee, the civilian opened yesterday. And and they flew the first flights with Frontier and VIA. And Frontier and VIA, which are budget carriers, you can go to, I think, $39 to Chicago, only came because we went to Brooklee. People have been asking for Southwest Airlines, which they're not here yet. But Southwest Airlines for years now has said, we will only come if the airport's at Brooklee. So that's what's driving that.
When we got gerrymandered out there in West Mobile when Sam Jones was in office, and we gerrymandered all of the businesses and the airport itself right there. Now, you got to ask yourself, let's say hypothetically we move, who's going to inherit all the property right there? There's something underlying there that they're not telling us right there.
Well, no, the Airport Authority still owns it, and you're right, the airport needs to make needs to figure out what to do with all of that. Now, it does have a military use. There are the Coast Guard has a huge presence at Bates Field. Alabama National Guard has a fairly substantial facility there, and Airbus CASA actually has a military facility out at Bates. But now I do see your point. I mean, you go, what are you going to do with that stupid terminal that you invested all that in?
Right. Now, if we were to have the Air Force or the Navy come in and move some of their flight training, because I see 15s and 18s doing touch-and-goes all the time, C-130s, that would be great. I would be open for that because I think it's ridiculous when Johnson came in and took Brooklee out right there.
Right, and that was political.
You know, Congressman Boykin's dream. If we could have something like that, you know, we lost under Clinton, we lost the naval port. So if we had something to come in to do that, Johnny, be good. I would be 100% behind that. But for them to just knee-jerk there and all of a sudden say, at one time we're going to lose the airport, you know, to move it to Brooklee, we don't have the infrastructure there set up, we're going to get rid of the Civic Center, what are we going to do with Mardi Gras? We've got all these fundings coming in right
well,
now.
Well, I know the Mardi Gras associations are really, really upset, but the problem with the Civic Center is it does not make money. I don't know the number,
money is because with SpectaCorp down there, think about it. These guys were getting paid no matter what. What incentive did they have to bring things down? Then all of a sudden they say we're going to tear it down, and all of a sudden they're making money. Think about that. So I'm just saying, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but they've got to have something set up. If they tear the Civic Center down, the Mardi Gras organizations have to go somewhere. They can't put
the city's RFP, request for proposals, it's out, includes that it must accommodate whatever we do has to have an accommodation for the Mardi Gras organizations. They are sensitive to that, but they don't know what they're going to do. It's still out there. But I think all of it is to save money and make the airport more competitive.
But that's an oxymoron. You and I both know it. Mobile has never saved money. They've always knee-jerked right there. And that's the thing. Mobile
Kevin, we're up against a hard break. Folks, we are out of time. The music is playing. We've had a good show. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Honey, it's time to come home.